Sometimes it is with pastors and teachers that you don't know sometimes if you're speculating or prospecting. And this is one of those events tonight. But I would have you look at Genesis, the third chapter, the eighth verse. Before we pray, just to give you some speculation that perhaps would turn into some prospecting. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know, we talked about in the first hour this morning about the notion of escape. If ever there was an illustration of escape, right there in verse 8 you have it. But I come back to the cool of the day. Before we make some reference to that, let me have you join me with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, please accompany us in this evening hour for our concluding study in the Word of God on this Lord's Day. Take it wherever you want to take it, Lord. Speak to the hearts as you see fit, and may each be able to gain sufficient for their soul's nourishment tonight, and that needs in the heart might be challenged, satisfied, and corrected where needed. We ask your blessing upon each soul present, for each who would like to but couldn't. And we ask, Lord, for your mercy upon those who ought to be but aren't. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for that blessing not only at Grace Baptist, but in every other one of your assemblies that meet at this hour on this every Lord's Day for Jesus' sake. I pray, amen. In the cool of the day, please notice that it follows sin. They're hiding in the cool of the day. My thoughts are this. I'm inclined, and I realize that I go out on a limb with this and a chainsaw in my backhand when I say it. But I do believe that that there is a sequence here revealed in Genesis 3 that has the occasion of sin occurring in the evening. In the evening. Now, when people say they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, it could mean in the morning. It's cool in the morning sometimes. And that may well be the case. And if it is, I still maintain that likely Adam and Eve did what they did at eventide. You know, we have a physical anomaly to deal with when you get to a certain point in life called sundowner's syndrome. There must be a reason for that. It's more than psychological. I think there's some biological elements there that for individuals hate to see the light dissipate, especially at this time of the year. But I want to just jump out here and say to you that I believe that Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, did so at evening time. And then went and hid. And in the cool of the day, God came looking in the garden in the evening. Now, there is a reference in Psalm chapter 55. If you'll look there, please. Psalm 55. It gives a more than a recommended protocol for prayer time. Psalm 55. Please notice that if I'm going to take again sequence into consideration, Psalm 55 mathematically follows Psalm 51. Am I correct on that assumption? It does. In Psalm 51, you have David's confession. I also think mathematically that Psalm 51 follows Psalm 32. Am I right on that? So if we take them in sequence and apply the time slot to them. You have Psalm 32, Psalm 51, Psalm 55, and then you have something that David learns from everything that preceded in verse number 17. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Please notice something from verse 17. This is an audible prayer. Audible prayer, not silent prayer. Nothing wrong with silent prayer. That ought to be the frame of mind of every child of God all day long, silently praying in the course of your daily activities. But here, three times per day, evening, morning, and noon, will I pray and cry aloud. Now, there's some wisdom to glean from that. But before we go there, I want to attach some significance to the evening. And I want you to quickly follow along with me in the Scriptures. The first place we're going to go is in 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 16. And maybe it'd be better served at this point for you to just jot down the reference. You check it. Let me give you the nuts and bolts of it so we can accomplish a little bit more in the time available. But in that reference, 1 Samuel 17, 16, it is said that the giant, Goliath, the Philistine, drew near morning and evening. Morning and evening. May we liken the Philistine in this context in a metaphorical fashion, and liken him unto sinful temptations? And I say that for this reason. The old Dr. DeHaan of years ago made what I thought was a very tremendous insight into David's life. And of course, David is one of two principals here in 1 Samuel 17. And Goliath was a real-time, true-to-life figure, no doubt about that. But you know, there are giants that you and I face that serve as temptations in life that we normally live out from day to day. Here we find this statement that David had come from what we read in Psalm 55 to one great conclusion of life that had to deal with prayer. That come what may, he would not neglect to pray. Prayer is the Christian's defense against temptation. It's a wall against temptation. And to neglect prayer is to throw the door of temptation wide open to the adversary of our souls, to every single temptation that comes down the pike. We need, physically speaking, three meals a day. The three meals should begin from the time you get up all the way to lunchtime. You take a meal. That should go on until supper time. You eat your supper, and then supper continues on till bedtime. We need three meals a day. Unending dining. Can I get your amen on that? Okay? That's genuine living there. We need three meals a day, breakfast, dinner, and supper, and so too the believer, says Dr. DeHaan, needs his three regular periods of prayer to sustain his soul. It's not limited to three times. But here, as we look in verse number 17, that David gives a certain order. It is audible prayer offered three times a day, evening, morning, and noon, at a minimum. There's a blessing when we stop to pray and pray audibly with friends, family members, and the like. Keep in mind that Daniel of old was put into the lion's den because one of the things that he practiced was prayer three times a day. And when the decree was signed that forbade him to do that, Daniel's conviction on the subject of prayer bore true. He just went to his room, opened the door or the window, and continued on like he had always done. He prayed three times per day. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only time he prayed. I'm just saying that that was the normal, customary, regular time for prayer. And you know what? Listen here. Here's the truth. this speaks volumes to people in our church on Wednesday night or whenever the appointed hour of prayer. It doesn't need to be Wednesday night. That's not a magical hour. It can be Thursday, can be Tuesday, can be any other day of the week. But nevertheless, when Daniel went to pray, his enemies knew it. They knew what time he would be at prayer. They counted on it. They couldn't find anything else wrong with the man's life except that they knew that by conscience he could not conform to the king's decree. And they knew that at a certain time, in a certain place, he would be at prayer. May God's people catch the vision of the testimony in any community where the people of the community know that on a certain night, if we can't be counted on to do anything else as a church, they ought to be able to know that they can count on us being in this place for prayer on a certain night, at a certain time. Whatever night that church may decide to do it. Prayer meeting don't have to be at 7 o'clock. Prayer meeting can be at 8 o'clock in the morning. But no matter when it is, people ought to know that that's the appointed time. And please notice the order that David gives here. It is not like, well, morning, noon, and evening. But evening, morning, and noon. And please note where he puts evening first in verse 17. Evening is first. That's very significant. It is supposed that that is when most people have the most time, the leisure time, when the most slack time, when they are most likely subject to temptations. It was so in David's life. David was the king of Israel. He was the king of Israel. And it was in the evening that David saw Bathsheba taking bath in a courtyard. If David had been on his knees at the appointed hour, he would never have been exposed to that temptation. And I think you go back and you learn from what David made confession in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, that if he had to do it all over again, he'd have been where he should have been, on his knees in prayer. In the evening, you will find that when you come to that place in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that the second verse, that it was at eventide that he was walking up along his roof. And it was at eventide that he saw Bathsheba and the adjoining facility. Eventide. I really do think there's some substance to what we would speculate over in Genesis chapter 3, where the in the cool of the day has reference either to the commission of sin in the evening, and the Lord coming the next morning, or the Lord coming in the same evening, the same time, shortly after the transgression occurred. Don't want to make a big stretch out of that, but I want you to give some consideration that the Philistine appeared to David in 1 Samuel 17 in the evening. For 40 days, he would draw near morning and evening. There would be the temptation. I want you to see something else. In 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. You're familiar with the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 29. You remember the challenge that was made to the prophets of Baal. You call on your God all day for as long as it takes. And let the God who answers by fire be God. Okay? That was the challenge. So we come to verse 29. It came to pass when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Look over at verse 36. Came to pass, it's now their effort having failed, Elijah's turn, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, what's he doing now in the remainder of the verse? What's he doing? He's praying. When is he praying? The evening. The time of the evening sacrifice. You know, that was something that they regularly did in the Old Testament economy. Every evening they offered a sacrifice. And how does that have any bearing on your life and mine? Is not worship comprised of you and me presenting a sacrifice to the Lord every day? And what is the nature of that sacrifice? Romans chapter 12 is very clear on what the nature of that sacrifice is. A living sacrifice. So to the prophets of Baal, they were to make their petitions to a deaf and dumb idol god till the evening sacrifice, and they did so audibly. Might I remind you, they did so audibly. And so then at the evening sacrifice, does Elijah pray audibly? Audibly. And who answered by fire? His God. Think about in the book of Ezra, if you'll go there to chapter 9. Ezra, chapter 9. There was a problem that had arisen in Ezra's day due to something that unfolded in, as we read in verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, here's the report. It's not gossip. The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, the abominations of the ites. They're mentioned in verse number 1. And in verse 2 it specifies, they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in this trespass. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then verse 4 says, then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of God, of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until when? The evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, verse 5, I arose from my heaviness, having rent my garment and my mantle. And what did he begin to do in verse number 5? Fell upon my knees, spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, and he offers a prayer of confession. The people of Israel had not separated themselves, were doing the abomination of the ites. The leaders were chief in the trespass. And so assembling with him, on this occasion, where people who like him trembled at the word of God. They trembled at the word of God. And they assembled at the evening sacrifice. He fell on his knees to pray, a prayer of confession, a lament for the squandering of the little space of grace. If you look over there in verse 8, in his lamentation he says, and now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to do what? To escape. To give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes. Give us a little reviving in our bondage. He did all of that. And the audacity of the leadership of the people of Israel in that day was that they would break with God and return to the idols. That would bring godly people to their knees in prayer. I just point out the time sequence. In verse number 10, now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which you go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, and have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong and eat of the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. That they squandered. That they did squander. I would remind you of something else. In the New Testament, in the famous John chapter 3, That's the Nicodemus chapter. It reveals something about people in the 18th verse where it says, men loved darkness rather than light. Men loved their evening times. Men loved the darkness. And these, they squandered. I want you to come over to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. It is obvious, I think, to most practicing Christians that it is virtually impossible to pray or to be in a spirit of prayer if there's unconfessed sin in your life. Virtually impossible. It's a great inhibitor. On the other hand, it is virtually impossible for any child of God to choose to enter into or commit sin when they are regularly on their knees in prayer. And the reason is because they understand that the eyes of the Lord are always upon His people. There's no place that a person can go to escape the vision of God in their life. And it is prayer that links us to the all-seeing God, the all-knowing God. And we come to Psalm 141 at verse 1, Lord, I cry unto Thee. There's audible there. Make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. For what reason? As we find in verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. Let me not eat of their dainties. And I want again to remind you when it was that David sinned. It was at eventide. David had come so far, had learned his lesson. And he says, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud. He learned. Now there is something else to give consideration to, because there is a blessing on the other side of this. I would have you think with me, can jot down this reference, I'll just pass it on to you, in Daniel chapter 9, at the 21st verse. You remember Daniel was on the receiving end of some astonishing revelation from God concerning Israel and the end times. Things he didn't understand. Matter of fact, he was told things that made him absolutely sick. They were so traumatic. But when we come to Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, you need to remember that it was at the time of evening oblation, evening worship, that while he was at prayer, he had the blessing of angelic delivery of God's revelation concerning Israel for the present and Israel for the future at time of evening oblation. What a marvelous thing it is for God to reveal His plans and His wishes at the evening, in the evening time. And then keep in mind what I said previously about Daniel's prayer habits. Three times a day the man prayed. Three times a day. And then I want you to think about this blessing. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, you remember the tremendous teaching on the lesson of God's sovereignty and His providence in the securing of a bride for Isaac? I would remind you that in that 63rd verse, that it says there that Isaac was at meditation at eventide. In the evening, he was there in meditation. And what happened then? Why, over the hills come the camels carrying his bride at eventide. There's great blessing. And I would remind you of something here. It is said, again, attributable to Brother Anon, these words, that the soldiers of Christ, do their best fighting on their knees. You know, I have a little sign over my door, my office. It's hard to fall when you're on your knees. It really is. Hard to fall when you're on your knees. And so I would ask you this in conclusion tonight. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Now that I can attribute to a person with the last name of Kidder, and I can assure you that that person was not kidding anybody when they penned those words. Give some thought to the formula that David offers up in Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud. And if you be not in a place where you can pray audibly, find a place. If you got to get in the closet, pray audibly. Go in the garage and pray audibly. It's good for the soul. Even if you have to temper your tone so as to not wake anybody up in the process. Our dear Heavenly Father, help us to be able to gain the blessing at your hand as we come to pray. May it be, dear Heavenly Father, that yet before Jesus comes, that the church would come again together in unity and fall on their knees for prayer. When so many in our day use that physical symbol to make protest for foolish things and trivial things, may God's people, never using it as a symbol, determine that they will take their rightful place in all humility before the sovereign God of heaven who bids us come boldly to the throne of grace. Fall upon our knees evening, morning, and noon, and make our petition to Thee, O God. And we know that even when we come upon hard times and don't have quite the words to utter, that we have a holy assistant there to intercede for us. What a wonderful blessing it is. And we give You the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.